The Rosebud is the official proclamation that the population of King City has been increased by one by the name of Kimberly Lynn Kenny. She weighed in at 9 pounds, 7 1/2 ounces. Her proud father just walked in and seated there. And the length of the new addition is 21 1/2 inches long. So we just praise God for a beautiful baby girl, Kimberly Lynn, and thank God for Mike and Robin. And later we'll be dedicating the baby. This is the official proclamation. And after the service, Mike, if you will take the rosebud to the hospital. Yeah. You got an announcement you'd like to make, Ray?
If anybody has one of Rocky's here, they could let us follow Rocky's arm next Friday night. They get in touch with us sometimes this week. We need to follow about 3 more months in.
And this rock-a-thon is going to take place on the parking lot on the high school auditorium.
7 o'clock until 7 o'clock Saturday.
All the lights are off because Ed Bergerson's not here. He turns on all the lights. Lorena, would you turn the lights on in the narthex for me? And Jerry's turning on the public address. Ed was stung by a bee below his eye, and it's swollen a little, and he did not feel up to coming in this morning. So we want to remember him. Okay, I don't know what you came to do, but I came to praise the Lord. I don't know what you came to do, but I came to praise the Lord. I don't know what you came to do, but I came to praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. I don't know what you came to do, but I came to praise the Lord. I don't know what you came to do, but I came to praise the Lord. I don't know what you came to do, but I came to praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Does everybody have a bulletin? Would you lift it up? And would you stand up? Nancy, would you introduce the song? Lorenda, would you bring me a bulletin? Never mind, here's one right here.
I asked permission to do something. I asked permission to say something about my granddaughter. And he gave me permission. You know, too often men get to brag about everything and they don't do any of the work. So I thought, well, at least I can have the privilege of bragging about her. She is absolutely beautiful. But I want to talk more about that beauty. When the Lord told us through many different ways that it was going to be a little girl, Robin went through a deliverance. She was delivered of rejection. There's deliverance for all of us. Simply at the name of Jesus, there's deliverance for all of us. When she went through her deliverance, the Lord told us about this little girl, that she would be a happy little girl. Then later on, when we were praying about her, he literally showed us in the spirit how happy she was. And he says, this little one is free. Do you know that she's created in God's image? God loves her. He loves you and me, just like he loves her. She is whole and complete in him. Pure in him. And he says, you know, that is what I desire for all of my children, that they be whole and complete. And that heritage is ours, simply in the name of Jesus. But we have to claim it. God's not going to do it for us. and we have to claim it. And so when you hear me say she's absolutely beautiful, I'm seeing more there than just the physical. I remember when Robin received a baptism of the Holy Spirit, Francis says, oh, and the baby too. I'm believing in that baby's baptized in the Spirit. She is absolutely beautiful. And what she represents to me is what God is saying to each one of us. Every one of us can be free like this little one. Every one of us. But the conditions are that we must come to Him like this little one is coming into the world. Completely dependent upon those who love her. And Jesus wants us to be completely dependent upon Him who loves us greater than anyone on this earth. A love which we have not begun to experience. I was told this morning by my sister who called long distance that I'm entering a new dimension of love. Well, beloved, there is a new dimension of love that God has for each one of us. But we have to come to Him like these little children, like this little babe, and receive all in the name of Jesus. He is Jehovah. That's the song we're going to sing this morning. God of creation, it's in your bulletin. Lord God Almighty, the balm of Gilead, the rock of ages, He is the Jehovah, the God that healeth thee. God is a healer. He is the great I am, the God of Abraham, Jehovah Shalom, the God of peace I am. He's your provider, Jehovah. I'm going to call that Jireh. It's a Hebrew word. It means the Lord will provide. It's the hill upon which Isaac took his son, Isaac's son. Is that right? Abraham took his son Isaac. Isaac was a promise to Abraham, and he took his son up there to sacrifice him, as far as he knew. But God provided. He truly is the great I am, the God that healeth. Gene, play it through for us, will you? Yes. After we sing it the first three times, we may sing it more. Okay? He is Jehovah, God of creation. He is Jehovah, Lord God Almighty, the balm of Gilead, the rock of ages. He is Jehovah, the God that healeth thee. Sing alleluia, sing alleluia. He is Jehovah, the God that healeth thee. He is the great I am, the God of Abraham. Jehovah Shalom, the God of peace I am, the God of Israel, the rock of ages. He is Jehovah, the God that healeth thee. Sing hallelujah. Sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah. He is Jehovah, Lord God Almighty. He is Jehovah, the God that healeth thee. He's your provider, Jehovah Jireh, God of salvation, God of Messiah. The Son He sent to you, He testified of Him. He
Jehovah, the God that healeth me. Sing hallelujah. Maybe Jean will pick it up a little bit. And let's really sing it. He is Jehovah, the Lord God Almighty, the provider, the God who healeth thee. Do you believe that?
Amen.
He is the God that healeth thee. Let's sing it with our whole hearts before him. I witnessed people singing and dancing in the spirit to this. And it was a beautiful experience. To completely let her soul worship the Lord. Let her spirit free to worship the Lord God Almighty. Okay? He is Jehovah, God of creation. He is Jehovah, Lord God Almighty, the Balm of Gilead, the Rock of Ages. He is Jehovah, the God that healeth me. Sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah. He is Jehovah. He is Jehovah, the God that healeth thee. He is the great I am, the God of Abraham. Jehovah Shalom, the God of peace I am. The God of Israel, the everlasting one. He is Jehovah, the God that healeth thee. He is Jehovah, the God that healeth thee. He is the writer, Jehovah Jireh, God of salvation, God of Hosanna. The Son he sent to you, he testified of him. He is Jehovah, the God that healeth thee. Sing hallelujah. Sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah. He is Jehovah, Lord God Almighty. He is Jehovah, the God that healeth thee. Sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah. He is Jehovah. God Almighty, He is Jehovah, the God that healeth thee.
Praise the Lord. You may be seated. He's the Lord God that healeth thee. Lord God, we just praise you that you are as you were, the God that healeth thee. For you told Moses to go to the people and tell the people that I am sent you. The great I am sent you. Meaning who God was, who Jehovah was, is who Jehovah is, and who Jehovah is going to be, all the way down to that time in like May 1982, the same God that healeth thee. Father, we praise your name, that not only can we be born as Kimberly Lynn was yesterday, we can be born again as Kimberly Lynn will be when she personally professes Jesus as her personal private Savior. And we praise you, Lord, that you're in the process of bringing us all into a childlike faith so that we can just keep off keeping ourselves and keep on giving ourselves to you for keeps and for healing and for deliverance. So we thank you, Father, for the authority that you have given the believers. And it's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. The authority that we have. When you see a policeman who walks down the road with his uniform on, there are two things that testify to his authority. What is one thing? A gun? All right, that testifies. You better believe that if a man comes at me with a gun, he's got authority, and especially when he puts it in my face. A friend of mine had a night watchman job at a motel in New Orleans across town from where I had my night watchman job. And one evening, a man came into his office at the motel and pulled out a pistol, and old Roy Summerfield was his name, and he was down doing some homework like we always did at work until customers came in. He was studying away like this, and he heard the man come in. He wanted to finish writing the sentence. Then when he picked up his eyes, he just saw that gun pointing right at him, and you better believe that he did what that man said. That guy had authority. He didn't care what the man looked like or anything about it. He cared only about the authority that that man was wielding right there. The other thing on an officer that gives me authority when I look and observe it is what else?
Badge.
The badge. That badge symbolizes authority. Now, the badge and the gun symbolize authority, but it's the man behind it that puts the badge into operation. The badge doesn't do anything. If I saw a badge on the street, I wouldn't care about the badge at all. And if I saw a gun in the shop, I wouldn't care anything about the gun in the shop. But if there's a person behind the gun, and if there's a person behind the badge, then I know that is representing authority. Now, you folks have got authority. If you are a Christian, you are wearing a name tag. You are wearing a name tag. It doesn't say J-E-S-U-S, nor does your t-shirt say C-H-R-I-S-T-I-A-N on the back. But your very being is such that it represents Jesus. And you've got authority. The one thing I like to do is to preach. I want this morning, right now, to preach to you a sermon about the authority that you've got as a believer. You've got more authority than you'll ever know in your whole life. And I want to lead you through some scriptures in the Word of God. I want you to read them yourself so that you would know what I'm saying is from the Bible, which makes it accurate and which makes it true. I want you to know that you have got some authority. You've got authority, well, as a parent, you've got authority. As a person operating any kind of a business, you have authority. You have any kind of authority with the position that you're in, that you have been hired to do, or it's been delegated to you. But as a Christian, we've got further authority. We've got further authority because we have the right to command certain things. We've got the right to enforce certain laws. We've got the right to exact obedience. And I want to speak to you as a believer about the power to enforce the law that we are living in the land. The authority of the believers. Now, if you'll turn to Proverbs chapter 18, verse 10. Proverbs 18, verse 10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. That's the name of Jesus. That matchless name of Jesus, which is above every name, that at that name of Jesus every knee shall bow. Everyone shall fall someday at the name of Jesus. You're either going to fall at the name now or you're going to fall at the name then. And let me tell you, it's better to fall at the name now so that you can rise up and in that name of Jesus wield some authority over you, your family, and your business and your situation. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. It's that Well, it's that we run to. It's Jesus. And you can run to people and not be safe, but if you run to Jesus, you're always going to be safe. It's like a strong tower. And I don't know what comes to your mind when I speak of tower, when I say that word tower, but in my mind, it's a fortress. And if I can run and I can get into that tower, I am safe from all the fiery darts that Satan will hurl at me. The name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run into it and is safe. Your authority is predicated upon the name of Jesus, because it's in the name of Jesus that you were baptized and you are saved. You have inherited something very, very important. Now, if you'll turn to Galatians 1, verse 11 and 13, you'll find a very interesting sentence or two. Colossians 1, verse 11, 12, and 13. Strengthened with all might, now we talked about the strong tower, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. We have been made to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Now, some of you have received an inheritance through the years. Someone passed away, and in the will it was written down, such and such will be given to so and so. And you inherited something. Several years gone by, the church received a will from an attorney. And as we read the will, we were very gratified and praised God to read that this person had given this church some money in his will. Now, we would never have received a penny of this man's estate had he not, in sound mind, written out a will. Once the will is written, once the will is accepted as valid, then those people in the will are going to receive what's been dedicated to them. Now, God, in his infinite mercy, has dedicated certain things to every one of us. There is not one person here this morning who has not received a will from Jesus. If you're not saved, it is the will of the Father that all be saved. If you are saved, it is the will of the Father to give good gifts to his children. And so we are receiving from Jesus the inheritance, because it says here, we have been translated from the power of darkness, which is this world in which we live. We have been translated into the kingdom of his dear Son. That is why we talk about the kingdom of God. We're not talking about the kingdom of America or California or the world. We're talking about the kingdom of God. If you are not in the kingdom of God, then you are in the kingdom of darkness completely. And Jesus has provided a way to translate us from the kingdom of darkness, which is ruled by Satan, who is, the Bible says, the God of this world, been translated to walk in the newness of light, which is the kingdom of light, which is the kingdom of God. Now, it says here, we have been partakers, we have inherited this. And so your inherited authority as a Christian is very, very important. It's in the name of Jesus that we can do what we do. Now, let me lead you to John 14, 6. John chapter 14, verse 6. Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father unless they go through Jesus. What this means is that if you go through Jesus, then you just have to pick up part of Jesus. And you become a brand new person. And if you're a brand new person, you are inheriting qualities of your Father. Now, if Jesus is our Heavenly Father, which the Bible says He is by faith in Him, then I'm His child, then I can inherit some things. When I die, my family will inherit some things. When people who die, who have left you things in their will, you will be the inheritors of these things. Now, we have inherited from Jesus something pretty important, which is, well, salvation is number one, but we have inherited from Jesus something else, and that is His name. The name of Jesus, which is very important. Because at that name of Jesus, I can do things that I couldn't do before. Last Sunday afternoon, I went to Greenfield to receive a swarm of bees. Between my van and the swarm of bees, there were two very ferocious-looking, big, black dogs. Now, I am afraid of big, ferocious, black dogs if they don't know me. And so I said, "Nancy, those dogs look like they could bite." And she said, "Yes, they sure could." And there were, at that time, there was nobody around to save me from these dogs. I knew where the bees were. I had gotten directions to them. So Nancy said, as I got out of the van, "Why don't you just use the name of Jesus? The name of Jesus." Now, I'm talking about authority. I'm talking about authority. So I got out of that van just as confident as I could be. I got my gloves on, and I picked up that beehive box, and I walked over there, and those dogs just growled, started coming toward me. "In the name of Jesus, you're my friend." And I spoke tongues to the dogs. And the dogs just sort of drew back like that and looked at me and just watched me as I walked right by. In the name of Jesus. Now let me tell you something. Animals pick up fear. Bees will pick up fear because the body excretes a little substance that's spelled F-E-A-R to the little bees. Now, normally, a tiny little bee couldn't be very afraid of a huge guy. I'm sure a huge guy to a little bee. But if I'm afraid, I may not look afraid, but my body says, "You are afraid," because I am afraid. I'm scared stiff of those things. And if I let these bees know it, they're going to bite me. They're going to sting me. And the dog's going to do that too. And when you are in a particular situation of an animal coming against you, you can take the authority and you can be confident. You can be confident in the Word of God because it says you're confident and it says Jesus will radiate through you this way, and it's just scientifically been proven that an animal will not attack if he knows you. Have you ever run from a dog because you knew he's going to bite you? Of course he's going to bite you because you ran from him. He knew you were afraid of him. We've told our children, if a dog runs toward you, don't run away from a dog. What do? Stand up there. And you just stand up there. And the chances are the dog's not going to bite you. Okay, we're talking about some spiritual dogs now. We're talking about the powers of the world of darkness in which we live. And these powers of the world of darkness are after us. And if they know we're retreating, they're going to become more aggressive. If they know, in fact, we're going to take our stand and turn and in the name of Jesus rebuke, then they're not going to be as ferocious and they're not going to have the victory over us. So this is the name of Jesus. We've got an inheritance. That's what I read in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 and following. It says very clearly, God, who in at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the Father by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he had by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee? And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. As a Christian, you've got the Heavenly Father who gives the inheritance to his sons and daughters. You've inherited this. It has been conferred upon you. Philippians 2:5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And when we receive the inheritance, then we go out in conquest to receive it. Hebrews 2:14, if you'll jot that scripture down. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. This is Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. By conquest. Last Friday afternoon, I spent 4.5 hours with Wynn Worley, and I was with him Friday night until real late. And he shared with me some things that I want to share with you tonight in the evening service about conquest in conquering demonic influences. And in particular, I want to address this evening myself to the subject, why is it that sometimes a demon doesn't go immediately out of a person when hands are laid upon him and he's prayed for? Sometimes it happens instantly, like Friday night I prayed for a lady who came from Half Moon Beach. She had a spirit of migraine headaches, and I laid my hands upon her, and in the name of Jesus, we saw this person be set free of migraine headaches. Well, why is it sometimes it doesn't happen? Well, tonight I want to talk to you about that. But it all has to do about what has been conferred upon us by conquest. By conquest we go. We don't retreat, but we go out in conquest. Because we have received the greatness of his name. For the scripture says right here, having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Turn to Luke chapter 11, verse 21, would you? Luke 11, 21. Luke 11, 21. When a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him all his armor wherein he trusts, and he divides his spoil. The strong man of the kingdom of this world is indeed very strong. But we've been told that the name of Jesus is stronger than the strong man. So this is your authority. It's like the badge and the gun. It is the authority of the believer today that you can go with. And it's in the name of Jesus that it happens, the greatness of his name. Would you write down Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14 and 15? Ephesians 3, 14 and 15. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. The authority of the name of Jesus. And you in the family, if you are a Christian, inherit the authority. You inherit the authority. Well, one reason we don't have too much authority is that we've been squashed and we've been pushed down by all the traditions that the church has taught us for so long. And we've got to take our stand against the worshiping of God in vain, which are doctrines, and to refuse these traditions of man and go back to the Word of God. And, well, we're talking about sickness, we're talking about disease, we're talking about the inherited authority that we have. We've got to decide to be in agreement with the Word, to be in agreement with this Word or this world. And we've got to make the choice. And we have lived so long in the world that it's so hard to take the Word by faith and believe it. You just got to take a stand whether or not you believe this or whether you believe what the world is telling us. The world says you've got to be sick. The Word says you shouldn't be sick. Because the Word says that all sickness originated from Adam and Eve. Robin's pain yesterday in delivering Kimberly Lynn was because of the original sin of Adam and Eve. Because the Bible says that because of sin, there will be labor in childbirth. Last Monday, I spent a number of hours, as did James Settlemore, at Ed Bergeson's ranch, trying to help him get rid of a lot of weeds. I came back for lunch, and I found James wasn't too busy, so we went to Andy's rent place, and we rented one of these professional gas-powered weed eaters. And you know, when I was eating up those weeds, I got to thinking, the Bible says that because of sin, we've got weeds. And I was chewing up all those weeds, and I was so hot, and I was so tired, and I just was cursing Satan, and I was also pretty mad at Adam and Eve, because if they had not done what they did, neither Ed Bergeson or you would have weeds to worry with. There'd be no crabgrass, and everything would be a paradise. Like it was, and like it's meant to be. But the kingdom of the world is different because of the sin. Let me say something to you that may really shock you, but it's what I believe. And furthermore, it's what the Bible says. You should never, ever, ever go to a person who is sick and say, tacking on to the end of your prayers, if it be your will, dear Lord, please be healed. Now, maybe you never prayed that way. I have prayed it many times in the past. You go up to a person and you say, I pray, dear brother, that God would heal you if it be his will. Now, we're talking about God the Father. It is God's will that everybody be healed. What father among us as fathers today would impose a great sickness upon somebody. And yet we say, if it be your will, no, no. Now we pray that prayer, and rightly so, for circumstances. Jesus said in the Garden of Gethsemane, if it be thy will, if it be thy will. I'm talking about illness, sickness, and disease. It's not God's will, but yet we pray that. Okay, it's either one of two things. Either we believe the Bible literally is true, or we say it's not. And we take our stand today, not qualifying, but, and if, and when so-and-so. No, no, we take away all the qualifications, and we just either take our stand. Either you believe it or you don't. Either you believe it or you don't. And we have received some authority in the name of Jesus. And we need to know that the origin of sickness and disease is not of God. The origin is Satan in the Garden of Eden. Satan knows what's in your heart right now, just like the dog knew what was in my heart right now. And Satan knows now whether I fear him or whether I just think we don't give him much time or think not much about him. He knows that. And he knows how you feel about him too. And he knows that if you fear him, then he's up against a person who's in a strong tower in the name of Jesus. And he knows this. And if he knows that you don't think much about him and don't care about him and are just going downstream the way the world goes, he's not going to give you the time of day. But if you are turning to him, and if you are rebuking him, if you are letting him know that you know he's there, well, he's going to pick up and do something. because no, you are a threat. I'm a threat because of what I preached about him. If you want freedom from him, you get out of his presence. If you want freedom from Satan and his demonic influences, you get out of his presence. Now, the Bible says you have some authority to say, in the name of Jesus, flee. And this is not just once in a lifetime. This is a continuous thing. And the scripture says in James that he will flee from you. Not he might or he'll get ready. It says here he will flee from you. Because why? We read a moment ago. He's in the kingdom of darkness. And he is in a situation of a man who, yes, indeed is strong, but the name of Jesus is stronger than him. And the name of Jesus has got all of that power. Satan will do everything you let him do. Satan will do everything you allow him to do. Satan will do everything you allow him to do. Satan will do everything you allow him to do. And if the body doesn't do anything, God won't either. This body, God won't either. Satan has come to us and he has deceived us. He's talked the word of God out of us by saying it's not going to work for you. And there are people today who are believing something other than this word of God. But there's no power that can talk us out of this. The Bible says it will cast down the imaginations of the thoughts. And it will build up our confidence in God. Because God is good to all. And God is looking right now. He is looking right now for somebody in whom he can show himself strong. Now that scripture said, you go into that strong tower, the name of God. Well, turn to 2 Chronicles, if you will, verse 16 and 9, which is our text this morning. 2 Chronicles 16, 9. It's a beautiful verse. 2 Chronicles 16, 9. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth. Get the picture now. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong. Talked about that strong tower now. Strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Herein thou hast done foolishly, therefore from henceforth thou shalt have wars. Now God's eyes are running to and fro, and well, so what, all around the earth? Right here, they are running to and fro in this congregation. And what are they looking for? They are looking for a person in whom, it says here, God can show himself strong. Now, either you want to let God show himself strong in your life, or no. Herein thou hast done foolishly, you know, trying to build our own strong towers. Therefore, from henceforth thou shalt have wars. You'll have wars, and you'll lose all the battles. But God says, I'm looking for somebody strong. No, that's not what it says. I'm not looking for somebody strong, it says here. It says, I am looking for somebody so that I can show myself strong. And that's the difference. I am looking for somebody that I can show myself strong through. I want to be that person. I want to be that person that has faith that comes by hearing, not by seeing. By hearing the Word of God. And that's why it's so important for us to come into this Word of God. If you want God to show himself strong through you, then you've got to go to his Word. You've got to build up the Word level within you. And I've told you before that God is putting upon our people an extraordinary amount of zeal for this word of God. God prophesied a few weeks ago that he wants to do something very important. In 82 is going to be the year for you in your miracles. And this is in your miracles and in the church. And he said, I want you to give me a tithe of your time in reading the Word of God. A tithe of your time in reading the Word of God. So you have 24 hours a day. God says, and boy, I'm doing it too. God says, you take one-tenth, and that's more than 2 hours, a day in the Word of God. Oh, Pastor, you've really, boy, when you get a baby, you really go. That's why, do you realize I don't have time to do that? I've got cooking and washing and ironing and babysitting. My husband couldn't do this. He works 8 hours at a job. That's only 8 hours. What does he do the other hours? What do you do the other hours? We've been given 24 hours a day.